Greeting, Earthlings. We have now taken over your radio.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Kevin and Andrew, and this is the Jayhawk Talk Podcast. Andrew, did you watch any basketball this weekend?
I watched some basketball. In fact, I watched all of the basketball.
All of the basketball?
Yeah, my fiance got a little annoyed. She made it all the way to the second half of the UCLA game on Sunday night when she said,
"That's pretty good.
I think I'm basketballed out." And I'm like, oh, "You made it this far. That's great." Anyway, I watched mostly everything, and it was all pretty good. I mean, the first 2 days were, for some, uninteresting, but it set up a pretty crazy Saturday and Sunday set of games, which Saturday and Sunday was probably one of the best Saturdays and Sundays we've had in a long time. Duke goes down. Villanova goes down. Louisville goes down, setting up a pretty interesting week for the Sweet 16. And you know what, Kevin? The Jayhawks are part of it.
Hell yeah, they are. How about that?
So two great games this week. We're going to talk about those two games, but we're mostly going to talk about Tyler Self and Scott Drew as we go forward. The two biggest storylines coming out of this weekend, Tyler Self and Scott Drew.
Well, let's start with Tyler Self, because I don't remember what happened in that UC Davis game other than he was the leading scorer. Like, that's all I remember, right?
Yeah, I think I just remember him, like, he scored a bunch, like, more than he's ever scored before.
It felt like it. Like, it was just over and over again. He's just making shots left and right.
Yeah, and so it'll be, you know, will he be the guy going forward? Is he going to be the guy?
You know, everyone needs good guard play in March. That's what they say.
We need
good guard play in March.
Good guard play in March.
I'm looking at a guy that's 6 foot, 155 pounds that I'm putting my team behind.
Yeah.
Don't matter. Look, doesn't matter that he averaged 3.8 points at Lawrence Free State. Doesn't matter, right? I think it's Lawrence Free State.
And just to get into the UC Davis game a little bit, we scored 100. That was a big takeaway for me. I really enjoyed scoring 100. And who better than Tyler Self to get us up to that 100? That was, you know, when you're in the field house and Tyler Self makes a basket, the place goes nuts. But to do it in an NCAA tournament game and to do it to hit 100 points, that's like a triple threat of people cheering sort of ironically, but mostly very enthusiastically.
I'm pretty sure he also had a career high in rebounds with one. So that's something.
Career high in rebounds with one. You know, he scored 5 points, including, you know, probably the biggest three of the tournament so far.
Oh, no doubt.
Before the season, Tyler Self had never scored more than 4 points in a season. So this 5-point breakout game puts him at 10 for the season and 19 for his career. Or 1,819 behind Frank Mason.
Here's another takeaway. I like that one a lot, by the way. That's a great take. He scored more points than three of UC Davis's starters.
All right. Are you serious?
That? I swear to God.
Oh, I like that.
He had some dude named Aden Relay had 4 points.
Oh, yeah. He was a contributor. His name was called out a lot, mostly for fouls.
He had 4 fouls. Someone named L. White had four points, also 4 fouls. And then someone named D. Graham, not related, also had 2 points in 20 minutes. So there you go. He had more points than three of the starters. The other guys had 20 and 17, but we're not going to talk about them.
You know, if you had a pod champion or pod team, like all pod, all Tulsa pod team,
mm-hmm,
Tyler Self, honorable mention.
Oh, definitely honorable mention. No doubt.
Honorable mention.
Absolutely. He should have played more in the Michigan State game. His dad wouldn't put him in. I don't know what he was doing. We're up 20 points.
Well, we're up 20 points late.
So?
We were.
That's last enough 10 time minutes, to make a three.
Last 10 minutes probably made his dad a little nervous because those points came pretty swiftly. Rather, he kind of needs time to prepare to put his son in. So you have to be up like 20 with like 15 minutes left, because then he can justify it in his head. Like, okay, I'll put Tyler in about 4 minutes.
All right.
But if you're down, or if you're only up 5-10 with 10 minutes, he's not going to get in.
Andrew, we were up 35 points and he only played 3 minutes. Come on. We're up 35 points. Get him in there. Get him in there at the under.
He took advantage of those 3 minutes. I guess my only other takeaway from the UC Davis game was that we beat Jim Less, the coach of Bradley.
Screw that guy, by the way.
When Bradley beat us in 2006, so a little bit of redemption there, Kevin.
Screw that guy. Yeah, not a fan. Wasn't a fan before. Now I'm really not a fan. Didn't really like him. Whatever.
All right, let's talk about Michigan State.
Okay.
Otherwise known as January, February, Izzo. Yeah, did not work. Did not work this time. A couple big takeaways. The last 10 minutes, KU outscored Michigan State 30-15.
Nice.
So we do know how to close games the last 10 minutes. Devontae had a big hand in that with a bunch of threes at the end. And Dwight Colby, while he didn't score a ton of points, he scored a couple free throws.
3 points. Put back one out of two.
A couple rebounds and a steal, but and played some good defense. Did he solidify his role above Carlton Bragg?
I'm pretty sure there's no doubt at this point, unless the matchup is just so clearly, you know, skewed the other way. But for this Purdue game, absolutely. He will be in there before Carlton. Or if he's not, he'll play more minutes. I don't think this is, man, we were wrong about Carlton Bragg. Like, this has been a rough year for Carlton. I hope he figures it out. I hope I hope he sticks around. I don't know. Maybe that's a take we need to talk about. But regardless, yes, Colby was awesome. He played great defense.
With Carlton Bragg, here's the deal. I think we got to remember is that Carlton was recruited to be and considers himself to be a face-up four.
Yep.
And there is no spot on this team for a face-up four.
Nope.
Josh Jackson plays that role, and he plays the role 37 minutes a game. So when Bragg does come in, he's expected to be the five, which is not a face-up role, which is a rebounding role. And that's not what he does. So maybe next year he can actually take that role as a face-up four, play in a more traditional Bill Self offense. But that's not what we do now. Sorry, Carlton. It's not you don't really fit at the moment. But
and there's a pretty good four coming in next year, too. Like, that's the other.
Yeah. Billy Preston, same type of deal. Who knows what that'll be? Who knows if he'll start immediately? I mean, we don't know exactly how that's going to work, but he's going to have some competition. I think Carlton's going to play a meaningful role at some point the rest of this tournament.
I hope so.
Just right now, not working out for him. But any other takeaways from the Michigan State game? We did win by 20, but close game.
Yeah, you know, I thought the Josh Jackson versus all the Michigan guys was kind of an overblown story. Like, that was all anyone wanted to talk about. Even in the post game, you know, they get them all up in the podium and they, you know, they sit there and they get the, all right, first question in the back, you know, and then the first question was like, Josh, how great was it to go up against your old best friends, you know, like your best friends that you played against. And he's like, oh, you know, it was good. You know, it was a nice, good challenge. And then the next question, hey, but man, remember how you just played against your best friends? Like, how is that? Like, clearly they're just writing these stories. You know, they already had an in what they were going to write. And they're all terrible stories because he didn't give any good quotes, but whatever. that was kind of annoying. I got tired of that. Although it was kind of clear, as Self said, he was pretty fired up or juiced at the beginning, as Self says. And he did calm down and played really, really well. He was probably the player of the game. And Andrew, another takeaway, we shot 93% from the free throw line.
That's crazy.
93% from the free throw. A lot of that was Frank just making everything, but still, 93%.
You know, your percentage is determined by who's taking your free throw. So I think that our free throw percentage at the beginning of the year for the first 2 months was severely weighted down by Azubuike.
Josh Jackson
and Azubuike took most of our free throws. They took a bulk of them. And so when those guys aren't making it, it really weights it down. But when Josh Jackson's making his free throws and Frank Mason takes 10 a game, they're going to go up.
Right.
So that number is going to go up.
And it has.
They were like saying, you know, oh, this Kansas team, not very good free throw shooting team. They're ranked 260th in the country. Well, Mr. Announcer, at one point we were ranked, Kevin Harlan, also KU grad, so we can't, like, he probably knows this, but earlier in the year, we were ranked 341.
Yeah, we're coming up.
We're up 100. So that's improvement to us.
It is. I did see something. I don't remember the stat, but it was something like in the last 10 games of the Big 12, we were actually like in the top three or four in free throw percentage. So we're coming up. Obviously, a good time to do it in the tournament. Andrew, got another takeaway here. I want to talk about technical fouls. Okay.
I love technical fouls. Love them.
So I love them when they're awesome, right? I love them when like something awesome happens and like technical foul was awesome. Like got your money's worth. What I don't love is when you get a technical foul for something that doesn't deserve a technical foul. And stick with me here. Dunks, right? Dunks, like getting a dunk and then like flexing on somebody should never be a technical foul. Ever, never, ever, never, never. In fact, I don't know, Andrew, how you feel about this, but it should probably be a technical foul if you don't flex on the dude after you dunk on him, right? Like, that's the answer. Like, that should be a technical foul, and that should definitely result in 2 points and the ball. Like, that should – do not call a technical foul for flexing on a dude. I'm okay, I think I'm done. No, I'm
okay,
not.
Okay, well,
do
as not we do know – hold on, I got it. As we know, dunks in themselves are a taunt. They're its own taunt.
They're a taunt, sure.
They're a taunt. I will say this, just to bite back a little bit. Stat boy, my brother, mm-hmm. at the game, I called him up and I'm like, "What do you think about that technical?" And he says, "It was deserved."
No way.
in the stadium, and he's one who's all about flexing on people.
Obviously not.
He said, "Yeah, probably deserved." So I don't know exactly what happened. We saw a limited.
Could he hear him? Could he hear him up in the 40th row? Saying whatever he said, because he clearly said a magic word. Like, that's the only reason he got it. Because he didn't really, like, get up on the guy and, like, freaking teabag him or something. Because that would have been an awesome technical foul. But he didn't do that. He just said something. Like, if words are a technical foul, like, we're, like, speaking words, like, whatever. Never, ever, ever. You got to do something, like, criminal to get a technical foul in March. That's all I'm saying.
Well, criminal. Now I think we've got a little more leeway with this. Because the NCAA is going to go back and say, like, "Hey, guys, if you're going to call a technical foul on a taunt, it's got to be this, this, and this." So it's not going to happen again. Like, we're good to go. We got it out of our system. We're going to get that rule corrected. Yeah.
Did we?
I hope not, actually. I hope not.
I hope not, too. I hope we're up 20, though. That's all I'm asking. Because they cut it to freaking one that, like, shortly thereafter. And then we went on, you know, bonkers round, but whatever. Anyway, all right. Anything else for Michigan State, Andrew?
Well, I just want to talk about after the game. After the game, actually, before and after the game, we kind of got a clinger to this basketball program. You all have those folks in your lives that you classify as clingers.
Sure.
Folks that you don't necessarily, like, they're hanging around, and you're like, why is this guy here? And you don't want to be mean to them, but they're like you're just kind of clinging on to the group. It doesn't really make sense. And who invited you here? And it's mean to say that, but KU's got a clinger.
I know.
And his name is Scott Drew.
Scott Drew.
Scott Drew is KU's biggest fan, apparently. Huge what? KU fan.
Okay, set this up. This was ridiculous. All right, go ahead.
Okay. On Twitter, Scott Drew posts before the game, "Baylor Nation, let's do a great job cheering for Kansas today. Go Big 12.
Exclamation mark.
3 exclamation marks. Okay. Like teenage girl, 3 exclamation marks.
Emoji.
Right? Now I understand that they were playing in the same pot in Tulsa, but he didn't say that about West Virginia. He didn't say that about Iowa State. He's like, "My new best friend, Kansas, you should root for them too." Mm-hmm. Now, if you want something funny, if you need like 5 minutes of laughs, go to that tweet and then click on the comments and read all the comments. Gold. Hilarious. Baylor Nation did not take that lightly. Okay, now day of game. Okay, he posts, "Great day for Big 12 in Tulsa. Congrats to Coach Self and Kansas. Love it when the Big 12 wins in March. Go Big 12!" Exclamation point.
Exclamation
point. Now, also, and this is just Twitter, but he came into the locker room.
All right, this is where it gets weird. Like, okay, stop there, because that's a little weird. Like that you're doing. How many tweets did he have about his own team? Like he probably had
a bunch, okay. But like probably 10.
Okay, so 10 to 1. It should probably be like 100 to 1 to talk about other programs. But okay, right. we'll add that up. Okay, that was fine. Maybe, you know, it's a little weird tweeting about Kansas, whatever. Then it gets weird. Okay, so go ahead.
He comes into the locker room to say congratulations. It's a quick little poke his head in. I think he just wanted to see everybody because he's their best friends.
Right, best friends.
And Svi was apparently confused about who he was.
This is great.
And the Gerald Vic had to be like, that's Scott Drew from Baylor. And Svi's like, why was he in here? Why?
That's the best quote. I don't know who and wrote beyond the story. That, it was on the Star.
There's one more thing. He wrote on the whiteboard in the locker room, congratulations to KU, and then signed his name, Scott Drew, head coach of Baylor.
Can anybody get in this locker room? Like, what are we doing here? Why didn't we go down there? We could have just hung out in the locker room.
I don't know why. Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know the timing of that. Maybe they're in there before for a warm-up or something. I don't know.
Weird. That was weird.
I have two theories.
It feels icky.
Yeah, it feels icky. I have two theories on this. One is that Scott Drew is KU's biggest fan, and as our biggest fan, he probably listens to this podcast because all the biggest fans of KU listen to the Jayhawk Talk podcast.
What's up, Scott?
So hey, Scott.
Stop calling. Hey. Stop texting. No, we're good.
Scott. Yeah, we've got plans.
We got things going on right now.
Yeah, like, I think it's a family thing. So yeah.
I mean, listen, like basketball's on. Like I gotta watch the
it's Illinois a family State thing. So like we CBI. Can't hang out, Scott. I
gotta watch the CBI so, tonight.
I'm actually gonna watch that Colorado State game
today. Aren't you a Wyoming guy? Isn't Wyoming playing tonight?
Well, my buddy is a GA on the Colorado State basketball team.
All right.
So they're hosting Cal State Bakersfield.
Okay.
In the NIT. So I'm going to watch that Colorado State game tonight.
Okay.
ESPN2, Kevin.
All right. Hey.
And I need some more basketball.
I know. No, you're exactly right about that. I'm freaking out. Like, I don't know what to bet on. Like, I've bet on every single game. I'm kind of got an itch. Like, what do I do now?
Take the CSU Rams.
Rams?
Yeah. I don't just because I don't know.
All right. I'll take the Rams just for you.
I can't imagine Bakersfield travels very far generally. Not. So traveling out to Fort Collins is probably pretty tough.
It is a tough travel, it's Boko.
All right. So that's my first theory, is that Scott Drew is KU's biggest fan. Kind of a creepy guy. The second theory I have is that none of that's true. He's pretending because Bill Self has some sort of a weird videotape.
Oh, I like Scott, this.
Kind of like Putin has a tape with Trump.
I like this a lot. So, I like this take.
So Scott Drew's like going out of his way to like creepily praise KU. Kind of like Trump goes out of his way to like creepily praise Russia. Like, just it doesn't make any sense. Like, why is he even saying that? That makes no sense because there's a videotape out there.
Right.
So somehow Bill Self got his got a tape of Scott Drew. And those are my two theories. I can see no other explanation. Not conference love, not nothing.
Oh, shit. Oh, it's Scott. Scott, what do I do?
Scott, he just loves us. That's what it is.
Decline it. Should I decline it?
Yeah, tell him your child is not sleeping and you can't hang out.
I can't answer. I can't get myself to do it. He's probably going to call you now, just so you know. Okay. Sorry, Scott. Can't answer right now. Anyway.
Okay. While we're talking about coaches, let's get into this real quick. Did you see that Brad Underwood left Oklahoma State to go to Illinois after 1 year?
This is so great. I mean, how can that happen? Like that doesn't happen. The dude was killing it at Oklahoma State. He was killing it. Like what are you doing? Like does not matter how much it costs. Like he wanted to be paid league average. Supposedly he has to be paid league average.
And he ended up getting $3 million a year, which for what he accomplished and his stature probably deserves $3 million a year.
Yeah.
And you know what? They gave Travis Ford a 10-year contract.
I know. Like, what are we doing?
And they didn't even get to keep Underwood for an entire calendar year. But I think that the biggest issue that comes up here is who's going to be the next coach. And if you're got your ear tuned into what Oklahoma State fans are saying, it all centers around one name.
Yep.
And that name is Doug Gottlieb.
Absolutely.
That's right. He's not a coach. He's a broadcaster on CBS. He occasionally does basketball games. He mostly does an afternoon radio show and talks to Kevin Keatsman for 5 hours a week.
He just calls feels it like
Keatsman.
It, right?
Is it Keatsman's show? I can't remember. I saw him listen to 810. Is it Keatsman's show?
Or maybe it's or,
no,
it's, maybe it's Petro.
It's Petro. It's Sorens' show. So he could talk to him forever. And that's his job. So I understand that Doug Gottlieb played college basketball. I get it. He's got a basketball mind. But for the last 10 years, he's been arguing on the radio about whether Joe Flacco is an elite quarterback and then talking trash on Twitter. That's what he's been doing for 10 years. That's what we do. So we're not that far away from Doug Gottlieb in terms of our we're both lawyers, so we both do other stuff, but we're not that far from Doug Gottlieb. So maybe we're next, right?
There you go. Like what's different between us? We want our shot. Like we sit here and talk about nonsense on a podcast. He sits talks about nonsense on a radio. Like what's the difference, right?
Right.
Well, here's the difference. He's the all-time assist leader at Oklahoma State. Like well, that's
pretty big actually.
He's also, and this is a quote, and this is a direct quote. It's like the Bachelorette. Hang on, stick with me.
Okay.
What I've said to people about Oklahoma State is I'm in it for the right reasons. At the beginning of The Bachelorette, they're trying to figure out who wants the reality show and who really wants to marry the girl. And then it gets better. Like, okay, you're like, okay, whatever. Good take, Doug. It gets worse. I wouldn't be doing this for financial gain. As a college coach, you're probably always getting paid more than you probably should be paid. I'll be paid, but I'll be taking a haircut to take this job. Time out. What do you think Doug Gottlieb makes to do his shitty radio job? Because it's not $3 million.
Right.
Or $2 million or $1 million. I would put anything on it that he is not making more than like $400,000. And that is insane money for what he does.
Probably that's probably high.
It's probably more like what are we talking about? Like 275?
Maybe.
Like I know a little bit about radio. Like they get paid money, but like unless and like syndicated, obviously gets a little bit more. Okay, maybe he does a little bit more. But he says this: I'll be paid, but I'll be taking a haircut to take this job. I'm not doing it for money, and I'm not doing it for fame.
Ooh,
I'm telling you, man.
I want this.
He said, I know. I want it so hard. I want it so hard. Like, I don't know that I want anything else. Like, I want KU to win the national championship, and I want Doug Gottlieb to take OSU's job. Like, those are, like, the two things I want. And I want my child to get a full ride scholarship. Like, those are the three things that I want. Like, that's it.
I like it. Well, let's all keep our ear to the ground on Doug Gottlieb because I would love that. I think he'd be there for a season and a half. Something would happen in the middle of his second season and he'd leave, but it would be quite the season and a half.
Oh my God. I can't.
Like they'd say like, oh, they'd go like 5-21 the first year and like, oh, we gotta get his guys in there. And then halfway through season two, it'd be like, no, we can't do this.
This is done. We can't like we're done here. Yeah, it looks bad.
Okay, so
it looks bad.
Let's button this up. Like, how does Oklahoma State let that happen? You know, Underwood, they lost that game. Oklahoma State lost to Michigan about barely. Like 1 o'clock Central Time on Friday, and he was in an Illinois sweatshirt the next day at 2:15 with the AD of Illinois.
That was in the works for a while. I mean, that's all like, you can say. Like, right?
I guess.
That doesn't happen overnight. Like that doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't happen overnight. That's how that works. Like you can't just be like, just finished the job. Oh, phone's ringing. Who is this? Oh, it's Illinois. You want this job? Sure. Like that doesn't happen.
I mean, like, take the lesson from K-State. If you don't pay your coach, he will leave for a better job in less than 24 hours because somebody's talking. There's something's crazy. Lined up.
It's crazy. Crazy. Well, whatever. Oklahoma State's real dumb is my takeaway. And I don't think they will get anyone anywhere like remotely close to as good unless they get Doug Gottlieb. Unless they get Dougie. I need that Doug. In my life. I need it so hard.
Dougie,
okay.
Doug, I would love that. Okay. Let's move on and talk about, you know, next games going forward. What we need to get going. I think you've got something lined up. We've done this before, sort of. We've got some questions. We need to do some activities to clear our mind. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we've done this for several years. I don't really remember the context before other than we were trying to like take a step back. Like we made it to the Sweet 16. We got a few more games to go and we all just need to kind of level set, get back to where we were, make sure we feel real comfortable moving forward. Maybe do a little bit of breathing exercises, get comfortable. Everyone get like relaxed, get real relaxed. And then we go out there and we beat the shit out of Purdue and probably Michigan. Like, that's what I want. Okay. So I'm going to play some music here. We're going to relax a little bit. And Andrew, I know that you have three things in the past that you've brought up on this podcast that I don't remember where you found it, probably on Bing or Google or, you know, Ask Jeeves, that told you, like, these are the things you need to do to relax and get ready. Okay. So we're going to put on some music here. Everyone just take a little breath, take a breath. If you're driving, maybe pull over, close your eyes. And we're going to start here. And I'm going to let you take over right now.
I don't remember where I found this. And so because I can't remember, I'm going to say it was channeled to me to pass on to you. But this is what we need to do. This is as players, if the players are listening, which we know they are.
They are.
If the and fans
Scott.
Are listening.
Hi, Scott.
And Scott. Hey, Scott. Yeah, I've got like 3 missed calls from you. We're doing the podcast.
It's relaxed.
Scott.
Relax,
just,
Scott.
Okay, just relax, Scott. Okay. The fans out there going to the Sprint Center, the fans out there watching at home this weekend, there's a couple things we need to do. The first one is just relax.
Relax.
Relax. This is going to be almost a home game. The tickets are very expensive, which means that all of the tickets were gobbled up by local people, which means that all the tickets were gobbled up by KU fans. KU so this fans. Is going to be a virtual home game. And this isn't going to be this Big 12 crowd, you know, type of game. This is going to be a KU crowd, 95% KU crowd with something on the line. And they're going to be bonkers. Mm-hmm. They're going to be crazy. This is going to be an Allen Fieldhouse game. So we just need to relax, take a moment, and realize what we do have going for us. We have a good team going into a near home game. I like your chances against anybody.
What do they need to do, Andrew?
They need to relax. The first thing, that's the step one. You just need to relax about it.
Step one,
take perspective about what's going on. You just need to relax. Step two, you need to find inspiration. Find inspiration. You can do that in many different ways, but mostly I just recommend listening to Redhead, Frank Mason 1 and Frank Mason 2,
over and over, like maybe back to back, like one on one, then the other one,
That will inspire you going into the Sweet 16 and hopefully beyond. So, first, relax. Two, find inspiration.
Listen
to Redhead. Three, get excited.
Get excited.
Get excited, Kevin.
Oh, Andrew, that was perfect timing. Like the little song just ended.
Okay, good. So relax, find inspiration, get excited. Let's go.
Speaking of Bitch, I'm Frank Mason. Like, first of all, great job on that meditation session. I feel really good. Like, I'm actually legit relaxed. It might be because I'm on my fifth beer, but like, I'm legit relaxed. Andrew, okay, so Bitch, I'm Frank Mason. Just a little peek behind the curtain here. I have a drop. It's actually on my keyboard here. It's the letter Y. It's Bitch, I'm Frank Mason, too short. Bitch, I'm Frank Mason. Okay, this is what it sounds like, right? We all know this one. If you're curious, some of the other drops. I also have this one, the old Bitch, I'm Frank Mason. Just like back to back, they're kind of interesting, right? Very different styles. Anyway, right next to Bitch, I'm Frank Mason 2. Again, that's why. Bitch, I'm Frank Mason. Is a drop that we had from a long time ago. Floorburns. Like long time podcast listeners will remember Floorburns. And here's how that goes. It's the, what do we call it? The Jared Haas Floorburns player of the game that we used to do?
Yeah, back when we did a format.
A floorburn, yeah. back when we tried. Here's that. Bitch, I'm Frank. Oh, no, that's Bitch, I'm Frank Mason. Let's try it again. Here's Floorburns. This is H.
You cannot hope or wish good things to happen. You go make them happen because we are in attack mode for the entire 40 minutes. We do that, and we're going to have a fun lock.
All right, Andrew, first of all, like, I'm really glad I played that drop because that is the speech right before the Memphis game that Bill gives. The we go play for 40 minutes, we do that, we're going to have a great locker room speech. You know what I'm talking about? Uh-huh. That was, you know, first of all, great inspiration. But what kind of caught me, I'm a musical guy, right? And, you know, ma'am, I'm Hunter Mickelson. These are in the same key. Bitch, I'm Frank Mason. Bitch, I'm Frank Mason. And if you got them together and did a mashup, Bitch, I'm Frank Mason. I'm pretty sure I would buy it. Like, Dream On. Of course, everyone knows Dream On. Longtime KU fans love the Dream On videos, you know. Dream On plus Bitch, I'm Frank Mason 2, same key. Somebody get me a mashup. I will.
Is there anyone out there who listens who's like Anna Kendrick from Pitch Perfect who can do matchups? Oh, is that Scott again?
Scott's back. Sorry, Scott. He's texting now. He's tired. He tried to FaceTime me earlier.
Don't want to go to On the Border, Scott. We don't have time to go to On the Border with you.
Got to watch the CBI. All right. What were you saying? Oh, yeah. The Anna Kendrick deal.
If there's anyone out there like Anna Kendrick from Pitch Perfect who can do mashups, somebody Dream On by Aerosmith, which Bitch, I'm Frank Mason 2.
Oh, my God. I would
put it together.
Mind.
It's going to work. It's already done for you.
It really could work. Like, they're the same key. Like, even if you go halfway through the song, it still works. Like, all the rise up and down. Like, oh, my gosh. I just accidentally did this, Andrew. And it's gold. Like, everyone trips on gold. Like, gold just doesn't find itself. Like, you trip upon gold. This was gold. All right. So there you go. Where are we on our rundown? Do we even have a rundown? What's next? Oh, the tourney. Let's talk about the tourney. Let's talk about the tourney so far.
Or
let's
talk about who needs to get going.
I thought we already did that. Oh, no, we didn't. We did relax. All right. Let's talk about who needs to get going.
Going forward, who needs to get going for this team to be successful? Sweet 16, Elite 8, Final Four, Championship game. Who needs to get going?
All right. So here's my take. And this is a terrible take, and I acknowledge it. And you know, whatever. But I think Frank needs to get going. And Frank
I disagreed. He averaging like 22 points.
No, I know.
Throughout these first games.
But here's my deal. All right. So I really want Frank. He's already one of my favorite KU players of all time. What I want from Frank is to be my favorite player at KU of all time. And how would Frank Mason become my favorite player of KU of all time? Is to just put the team on his back, though, these next game, four games, and just murder. Like, take it to the hoop every time, make a zillion threes, put the team on his back, Frank and the Miracles. Like, I want Frank to just take this and run, like, already probably solidified every you know, award under the sun. But Frank has said over and over again, like, I wish I could play at KU longer. Like, I love KU. I'm going to be back here. Like, he said that in a senior speech. Like, I wish I could stay 4 more years. Like, how can you not love this guy? How could you not love this guy as a KU fan? And, like, this is his chance. Now, again, he didn't play bad. He played good. He didn't shoot the ball that well in this last game. But I want him to get going for that reason alone. I want him to take it to the next Frank level. Bitch, I'm Frank Mason 3.0. And just, like, completely kill in the tournament the rest of the way. That's what I want. Is that a fair take?
That's fair. That's okay. Fair.
All right.
That's
fair. All right, good.
All right. I've got a slightly different angle. KU used to have this this tool bag going back into the Roy days and the early Bill Self days. And those that tool bag was Jeff Graves. Jeff Graves didn't really play much during the regular season, but come tournament time, Jeff Graves came to play.
Yeah, he did.
Jeff Graves had some incredible games in the tournament, including, I think, a 20-point Final Four game, if I'm remembering right. So this isn't necessarily a guy who needs to get going, but, you know, I think Dwight Colby needs to be our Jeff Graves. Just that extra tool, he can come in. You know, he hadn't played a whole lot this season, but doesn't matter. Especially against Caleb Swanigan in Purdue, which we're going to talk about coming up. I think Dwight Colby has 5 fouls to give.
Yeah, he does.
For a reason, and I think he should use all of them. Against Caleb Swanigan and Haas and all the big guys from Purdue. Maybe even some of the little guys. He's got 5, might as well use them. And so I think that, you know, if we're looking for that tool, if we're looking for that, you know, extra boost of energy, extra little offensive firepower, defensive toughness, I think look no further than Dwight Colby.
I like that take. And, man, he showed it this last game. He's starting to get healthy. Like, that's the thing. Like, he wasn't healthy, right? Now he's starting to get healthy. I think he sort of knows the system pretty well. You know, like, he seemed to sort of, you know, do a really good job hedging ball screens and good defense and, you know, being in the right place. Like, that'd be fun for him to become Jeff Graves, our attorney Jeff Graves. I would be on board with that 100%. Good take. I'll take that take. It's a good take. All right, now, Andrew, can we talk about the tournament? Like, this is what we're talking about. The tourney so far, right?
Tourney so far, favorite moment other than Tyler Self's 3.
Oh, my gosh. Probably Duke losing. Like, that's easy.
That's the answer.
That's the answer, right? That's so easy. I put money on Duke, too. So I do that live betting deal. You know, like, they get down by 10 points and the line adjusts. And all of a sudden you've got Duke like plus 1.5. And you're like, okay, I'll bet that. It worked really well for me. North Carolina, it worked really well for me for Oregon because I put big bets on both of those. And I'm like, hey, third time's a charm. And then I lost my ass on Duke. But I was okay with it because I love to see them lose. Loved it.
Favorite player, not on KU, who's played in the tournament so far?
Scoochie. I almost renamed my kid. Like, I was literally like, Lindsay, did we already sign the birth certificate? Can we change Miles' name to Scoochie? But apparently we already did, even though I haven't paid the $4. You're supposed to pay $4 to get someone's name. Like, that's a deal, but I haven't done it yet. So I don't know if his name is Miles. Like, we still have a chance, I think. His name could be Scoochie. Andrew, I do want to talk about this. Tourney so far, you and I on this podcast last week got on here and did some predictions. Do you remember those?
Bold predictions.
You know what my prediction was?
I don't remember.
My bold prediction, even hot take, I think it says scorching. You called it scorching. I took Michigan to win against Oklahoma State. And then I took Michigan to beat Louisville. And then I picked Michigan to beat Oregon and said we'd be playing Michigan in the Elite Eight. So far, so good on that take.
Looking pretty good.
So far, so good. Like, that was pretty good. Now, hey, yo, listen, you had a good take too, though. And I'll give you this. You picked Xavier. And yeah, I did not. I liked Maryland. You picked Xavier. That's a good take. They're up in Sweet 16. So, yeah, we had some good takes. If you're out there listening to us, trying to win some money, trying to fill out your bracket, don't listen
to me. I gave you Xavier. He gave you Michigan. I don't think we had any other big scorching takes because
we had some bets.
I'm going to ignore those. Oh, the bets. Yeah, I think we're even on those.
No,
right?
We're not, because I listened to the podcast again. I'm up one. Because I took, whoever it was, you took Wake Forest. I took K-State. K-State won that. And then you took the UC Davis.
I took UC Davis.
I took the other North Carolina Central. I lost that. But then you did a put it on the board for Oklahoma State versus Michigan. So I'm up one on that. Yep. Because I went back to be like, did I predict that right? So I went back
to that part. By the way, Michigan -1 against Oregon coming up on Thursday.
I thought it was two. I saw two.
Okay, well, I'm seeing this as -1. But in any case, Michigan is favored over Oregon.
Favored over Oregon. What do you think of that? Tell me right now, what do you think of that?
I like Oregon.
Do you? Well, that's who you picked on the podcast. You're sticking with it.
I'm sticking with Oregon.
You're sticking with it. I'm going to look it up on Bovada right now because I got to know. It's Michigan -1.5. It was 2 when it opened, so it's moved down a little bit on Bovada. Michigan -1.5. Crazy. What do you think the Gonzaga West Virginia line is?
It's probably Gonzaga -3.
That's exactly right. Are you looking at it? That's impressive.
Yeah, I'm looking at it.
Oh, you're staring at it. Okay, well, whatever. Yeah. That's cheating. It's cheater. So
I should have just said, no, I'm a really good guesser. No, I'm looking at it. Yeah. That's where I got the -1. So whatever I'm looking at is -1.
Okay, so here we are. Like, we're talking about it. Should we just go through the rest of the bracket? Sweet 16?
Yeah, let's do it.
Sweet 16, where are we starting?
Okay, let's go to Wisconsin, Florida. Thoughts on this garbage pail of
How about Wisconsin? Like, coming out, like, I liked Virginia Tech in that game against Wisconsin. I was wrong. Good game for them and took care of Virginia Tech and then beat Villanova, #1 overall seed by 3 points, 65-62. We've got Florida against Wisconsin. I think the world is betting Wisconsin in this game by a hair, 51%. To pick the game straight up, by the way. This is like picking straight up. Who do you got, Wisconsin or Florida?
I'm gonna go with Wisconsin. I don't think Wisconsin's favored, but Wisconsin's got four guys who have been there before, who were in the Final Four in the championship game, or that's Final Four a couple years ago with Kaminsky and such. So I'll go with Wisconsin just out of that. I think Florida's a better team, but Wisconsin's been there before.
Florida's favored by 2 points. I think you're right. I don't feel good about it, but I think I go Wisconsin here. They're playing well. Florida, you know, is a little undermanned. They lost one of their best players. guard. So I think I'm with you. I think Wisconsin wins this game, goes to the Elite Eight. Andrew, they would be playing the winner of Baylor and South Carolina. This region, Jesus Christ, we got a 3, a 4, a 7, and an 8. That's what we're left with here. A 3, 4, yep. 7, and 8. The mayhem of the East. Okay, so
right. I just got a text from Scott Drew. He said,
"What's Scott saying? Never mind. You know, I don't even want to know. He's been texting me. He's blowing me up."
Well, it says, "Hope we both make it to Final Four so we can hang out in PHX." Smiley face.
Jesus Christ. Tell him. All right. You know what? Just ignore it. Isn't there like a mute button for your phone? Like, there's a mute button for Twitter, which
I think I just need to turn my phone off.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's probably a good idea.
Hey, we should eat at. He's already making.
Does he want to eat at Marley's? Does he want to eat at Dan Marley's Steakhouse in Phoenix?
Oh, Dan Marley's is terrible, by the way.
I know. I tried to tell you that.
You did?
Yes. Go to Mastro's. Go to Mastro's.
Oh, no. Dan Marley's Steakhouse. It's not a steakhouse. It's like a.
I know. It's like a sports bar.
Like, well, yeah, it's just bad. It's just bad. So anyway, Baylor versus South Carolina. I will tell you this. I did a little research when South Carolina won last night. Frank Martin against Scott Drew in the Big 12.
Oh, good stuff.
So, so it was 08 or 08 to 09. Through 11-12, so 5 seasons, 4-4.
Okay.
4-4, Frank Martin versus Scott Drew. I don't think that gets you anywhere. I think they both had good teams throughout that stretch, so it's not like one team was down and the other team was up. They both, you know, had pretty good players, pretty good programs. 4-4. I'm going to go with Baylor. I do like Sendarius Thornwell. Sweet name.
Great name.
He gets a lot of points. I don't know.
I think I'm with
you. Frank Martin's reached his peak with this team. Well, let's go with Baylor. As much as I hate to say it,
Frank Martin deserves an extension. I know that. You get Sweet 16 team in South Carolina. Come on. So Baylor is favored by 3.5 points. I love Baylor in this game. I think they win by a comfortable margin.
Okay. Maybe. Speaking of Big 12, let's move on to Gonzaga versus West Virginia.
Yes.
Now, has Gonzaga faced a press like Press Virginia this season? I don't know. They've got a week to prepare for it. What are your thoughts?
No, they haven't. And I don't. This is such a weird game. Like, I don't know what to do with this game. Have you? Do you have an idea? Like, convince me what to do with this game.
I don't know what to bet. Do. I think you bet the over.
Okay, I'll buy over 149. I think that's a good bet. Actually, I do like that bet. I'm betting it right now. But -3, Gonzaga -3. What has Gonzaga shown you that makes you think Gonzaga is like an awesome team? Like, other than numbers, like Ken
they
Palm
beat bits. They beat Arizona earlier this year.
Arizona's undermanned.
Did not have Alonzo Trier. Otherwise. I hate to keep saying this because they are in the Sweet 16, but you know who have they played? They've gotten some top wins, but they haven't beaten a team like West Virginia. And I know that they're going to prepare for it all week, but man, you've got to be ready. No, Notre Dame was not ready. They ain't ready. They got run out. So
they ain't ready. Although West Virginia might have played their best game.
The tournament. Play your best game.
Really good, and they played really well against Bucknell. They only won that game by 6 points. By the way, if you listen to the podcast, you'd cover that spread if you listen to me. But I just don't know. I don't know. Like, Gonzaga could just kill them down low if they wanted to. I don't know. I don't know what to do with this game.
Pick it. Gut. What's your gut say? Go.
I guess Gonzaga, but like not to cover. Like, I wouldn't even bet them. I'm just avoiding this game except for the over. I like the over.
All right. Moving on to the.
Who do you like? Who'd you pick? I didn't hear you pick anybody.
I'm picking West Virginia.
All right, nice.
Yeah, I'll take it. Nice. Moving on, the Andrew Cinderella story. Xavier, 11 seed, gets to the Sweet 16 versus Arizona, and I'm picking Arizona.
Yeah, me too. 7.5 point favorite. Although they could cover that. That could be interesting. But Arizona's playing pretty well. Beat St. Mary's, the vaunted St. Mary's, by 9 points, crushed North Dakota. I feel pretty good about Arizona winning this game. And actually, I like Arizona to get to the Final Four here. So
moving on, Leal, I do too. Let's move over to the South. Kentucky, UCLA, big matchup.
Awesome.
They played before. UCLA beat Kentucky in Rupp Arena. We got a rematch. Got LeVar Ball out there talking a bunch of smack, trying to get a $1 billion contract for his sons. By the way, Iowa State game, Iowa State Purdue game, and just chit chatting with my brother, and we came up with a better. So you know, he has the Big Baller brand, which is the brand that he has for his kids. They're basically, he's the only one who wears that shirt.
I'll buy it.
They should have called it All Ball, because Devontae Burton blocked Caleb Swanigan, and I was like, All Ball, All Ball. And I'm like, All Ball should have been.
Whoa, that's a great name.
All Ball should have been the brand, not Big Baller brand. Big Baller brand sounds cheesy.
It does.
All Ball. So we need to start a brand called All Ball and have it marketed like Baller's Life and sell like tote bags to teenagers and make $1 million.
And socks. Yeah, like socks and tote bags. Yeah, definitely. I like that.
All ball, much better.
We could tens of dollars off of that. Okay.
That being said, I take UCLA.
Ooh, really? Interesting. UCLA is a 1-point favorite in this game. You know what? I think I do too. Like, they're playing well, and I just don't know that Kentucky can score. Like, I know that they've been scoring, but they. I mean, yep. I'm taking UCLA too. UCLA minus one.
UNC Butler.
North Carolina.
I'll go with North Carolina.
Yeah.
Moving on.
Great. Hey, great region though. Chalked it up. 1, 2, 3, 4.
That'll be a good time down in Memphis. Let's go up to Kansas City, Michigan, Oregon. You've already stated your opinion. You're taking Michigan. I'm taking Oregon. Up to KU versus Purdue.
Put it on the board.
Yeah. Put it on the board.
All right.
KU versus Purdue. This is our matchup. Thoughts on how we're going to guard Caleb Swanigan? Are we going to have Josh? Are we going to have Lando? What's our approach here?
I think it's Josh. And that's kind of crazy, right? But
well, we need to get Josh to gain about 50 pounds.
Well, he did okay against like Motley and I guess he wasn't really guarding Motley. I guess Lando was guarding Motley and Josh was guarding a 7-footer, right? Good point. I think Josh takes him, though. I think that's where it starts. And maybe there's some switching. Obviously, it's going to be a ton of help. And that scares me a little bit because we are, like, not all that great with guarding, especially from the guards, like, going away from from our guards and leaving guys wide open, going to help. If they're making threes, it could be a long game. But you know what? We have a week. Like, Bill Self has a week to figure out how to neutralize your best player. Like, I like that. I like that. Like those chances.
I do too. I think we'll see a lot of double team on Swanigan, like we did with Motley. And maybe it's a deal where you let Motley beat you, but you don't let anybody else, which is, you know, what we saw a little bit, you know, one of those halves, and Motley scored 16 and then scored two, and we end up running away with it in the second half. So I think we're going to take a lot of our cues, you know, from playing Baylor. And maybe that's the benefit of playing in the Big 12 is you get to see a lot of different styles and you know, we can, you know, put that game plan in. But who knows what they're going to do? That's what I do as a Doug Gottlieb media coach disciple.
All right. So KenPom thought this was interesting. Has Kansas as a 2-point favorite, 79-77. That's pretty close, Andrew.
But it also factors it in as a neutral court.
Yeah, that's true. Good point. I believe the Vegas line has it at KU minus 5. So first of all, I know you're going to say KU, but what do you think about the line?
Yeah, I like it. I like the line. I'll take KU in the line. I think that it mirrors a Michigan State game where it's kind of close for a while, but KU pulls away, just has too much offensive firepower for Purdue.
I hope so. You know, I think our little meditation session is going to help a lot. I think that's one nice thing, like that we brought to the table. I do think that Swanigan's going to get his, like he's going to score 20 points, I think, no matter what. But as long as he doesn't score more than like 21 points, we're going to win this game. Right. If he goes out and gets 35 and gets career highs, because we've been known, Andrew, to give post players career highs this year. That's a little scary. Everyone freaked out when Purdue was in this region.
But we've won those games.
We have won those games. You're right. The teams that we've lost to, why did we lose?
TCU didn't care. Iowa State, they hit a bunch of threes.
Indiana, we made a bunch of threes.
We were in Hawaii.
And we were in Hawaii. I mean,
in West Virginia, we got run out of the court because we turned the ball up. Just bad news all the way around.
Like, we didn't lose because, I mean, the reason we lost was not because some dude beat us. It was these kind of crazy combinations. I like our chances here, too. I don't know about the line. I'm not going to worry about the line. I like Kansas to win this game and face Michigan in the Elite Eight. I know you like Oregon in the Elite Eight.
Okay, Kevin, I take Oregon. You take Michigan. Pick your final four. Are you picking KU to go to the final four? And then what's the rest?
I am picking KU. I think it's I think this is the year, man. This is the year. We got Kansas City. Everything's lined up too well. I like Kansas. I like Baylor. My boy, Scotty D, down there in Phoenix with us, partying. And I like, this is tough. I think I like North Carolina to beat UCLA, and I like Arizona.
Okay, Arizona. I like the same, except I'm going to take you at UCLA.
Okay.
In the South.
That's fair.
The same, I like Arizona.
Coin flip.
I like Baylor. Like Baylor, and I like KU.
Coin flip game. How about Baylor maybe making a Final Four? Like, things just opened up for him.
It would make Scott's life. Maybe he can get some different friends.
Maybe he'll get a different job. Like literally.
Indiana?
He needs a raise. Like, he doesn't make that much. He needs a payday. All right. Well, maybe we can get Scott out of our lives if he does go on and do that.
All right, buddy. Relax. Find inspiration and get excited.
And somebody
is in Kansas City. Let's do this. This is set up perfectly. We got to just play our game. We can take care of Swanigan. Take care of the next team. Move on to the Final Four.
And make a shit ton of threes. Just like make every three. And dunk all over the place. And freaking show out every time you do it. I don't care. Get a technical foul. Worth it. Also, somebody out there, please, pretty please, put on your Anna Kendrick hat and make me this mashup between Dream On and Bitch on Frank Mason 2. It would be nasty. Like, I can't, I'm already losing my mind about it. So can we just make that happen? Andrew, anything else before we get out of here?
I'm excited for this Kansas City round of games. Excited for the Sweet 16, hopefully beyond. This team's ready to play anybody that's ahead of them. This team's ready to go to Glendale. This team's ready to cut down the nets. I'm excited for the next couple days. And hopefully we'll be back next week to talk about Final Four trip.
Yeah, that's exactly right. We will definitely be back one way or the other. Actually, if we lose, we might not be back. We have a history of doing that, but hopefully we'll be back. We'll be back to talk about KU in the Final Four, man. Cannot wait. Obviously sets up great for the Jayhawks. Feeling good as well. Here we go. Final Four, baby. Let's do this. Until next time, Rock Chalk.
I tried to tell them every time we on the court. I tried to tell them that we never coming up short. I tried to tell them that we came here to get the win. I tried to tell them that they should never let us in. They say that we the best, but I say we the greatest. That's why they try to knock us down and always seem to hate us. That's why they talk about us. They know they can never fade us. It's tradition and that Kansas pride that has truly made us. They know just how we feel. They know at Allen Field that we gon' keep it real. Shout out to Bill. This for them fans that waited off in them long lines, camped out before the games, and they stayed a long time. Every dollar that we spend just to watch our team win, on a Jayhawk shirt or a new clean Benz with a sticker on the back with the K and the U. Yeah, baby, that'll make you say, ooh. We at the top of the top, just like we should be. Started from the bottom, thanks to what James could see. Dr. Naismith made a game for man, changed lives for the players, and did the same for the fans.
J-Hawk fans, for my J-Hawks. This for my J-Hawk fans, for my J-Hawks. This for my J-Hawk fans, for my J-Hawks. Hawks.
And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby.
This for my J-Hawk fans, for my J-Hawks. This for my J-Hawk fans, for my J-Hawks. This for my J-Hawk fans, for my J-Hawks. Hawks.
And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby.
All them years that we've been cheering, everything that we've been hearing, all them spreads that we've been clearing, never been no team we fearing, and look how Bill got us steering, all them tournaments appearing with no team that's interfering, nine times get the cheering with them banners held high, and the crowd going wild, night before the final four, you can't even sleep now, yeah we at the peak now, we can't even leap down, March Madness, man, we've been waiting weeks now. If you a Hawks fan, go ahead and hold them ones high. Shout out to the boosters showing love and the alumni. I'm speaking for the fans, even though I'm just one guy. We appreciate the love, love won't run dry. Imagine the state of Kansas with no Jayhawks. That's like having no streets but trying to jaywalk. They see us as support and we see them on the court. So we keep it loud and do our best so we don't come up short. We win together and we lose together. But win or lose, we still booze together. Struggles in my life will change me as a man. But one thing that'll never change, I'll be a Jayhawk fan.
I ain't even gotta really say it. This one for the fans, that's why I made it. March Madness, here we can't be faded. Rock, Chuck, Jayhawk in your faces. I ain't even gotta really say it. This one for the fans, that's why I made it. March Madness, here we can't be faded. Rock, Chuck, Jayhawk in your faces.
It's for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. It's for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. It's for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks.
And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks,
it's
baby.
It's for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. It's for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. It's for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks.
And if you love it, then I love it.